Let's read together Isaiah chapter 60 and 61. In Isaiah chapter 60, we look on to the glory of Israel during the millennium. And in Isaiah 61, we have a prophetic glimpse of the Messiah who will make all the promised blessings to Israel possible. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses of Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roosts to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you? Let's begin our study of Isaiah chapter 60 with some background notes. In Isaiah chapter 58, we began the last 9 chapter subdivision of the book of Isaiah. This subdivision could be entitled Consolation or Comfort because of God's program. The good news is that in the end times, there will be a spiritual restoration of the nation of Israel. Not only a literal return to their ancient homeland, but a spiritual return to the Lord. We've seen that this predicted return to the land and to the Lord was not fulfilled when the Jews returned from their 70-year captivity in Babylon. And we don't believe these promises should be allegorized to the church today. We believe that they will be fulfilled literally in the future when the Lord returns to this earth and establishes his worldwide kingdom. This kingdom is called the Millennial Kingdom because it will last for 1,000 years according to Revelation chapter 20. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Isaiah chapter 60. In the millennium, Gentile nations will honor Israel. In the millennium, Gentile nations will honor Israel. Let's continue reading verses 10 through 18 of Isaiah 60. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, for in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Therefore your gates shall be open continually, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. This chapter could easily be entitled, The Tables Will Be Turned. The times of the Gentiles that the Lord spoke of in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, in which Jerusalem and the Jewish people would be under the foot of Gentile nations, will come to an end, and the nation of Israel will be restored to her God-given role of being a spiritual and moral light to the nations. Verses 1 through 3. In verses 4 through 9 of this chapter, we see that not only will the Jewish people return to their homeland from around the world, as they are doing today, but the wealth of the Gentile nations of the future will be directed towards the nation of Israel. Now, this has got to be still in the future, because we see in the context that both Israel and the Gentile nations will be worshiping the Lord. And that is certainly not happening today. We believe verse 7 refers to the millennial temple in Jerusalem, where sacrifices of thanksgiving will literally take place on the altar. This is why flocks and rams are mentioned. Now, verse 8 may refer to the many plane loads of believing Jews who will be returning to Israel in the last days. In verses 10 through 14, we see that foreign money will pour into Jerusalem to build up Israel and beautify the temple Verse 13, and it will be a great time of peace. No closed gates, verse 11, and no violence, verse 18. Why? Answer, because these Gentile nations, which are now believing nations of the future, are thankful to Israel. Israel will be the means of their blessing. And any nation or kingdom that does not recognize and acknowledge this truth will be judged. Verse 12, for the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. In the millennium, Gentile nations will honor Israel. Now, what about practical application for Isaiah chapter 60? Let's be willing to admit that we don't know all the details. Let's be willing to admit that we don't know all the details. Verses 19 through 22. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Some of the details here seem to go more with the eternal state than with the millennium. No longer any need for the light of the sun and moon because the Lord is the light. In fact, an everlasting light, verses 19 and 20. And yet, the possession of the land and the propagation of people in verses 21 and 22 sound more like the earthly millennial kingdom. So exactly how do we interpret these verses? Answer, we don't know for sure. Let's be willing to admit that we don't know all the details. Let's continue reading the first 9 verses of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall repair the ruined cities. And the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. Let's consider a few background notes for Isaiah chapter 61. Once again, as we read these prophetic verses, we ask the obvious question, have these prophecies been fulfilled yet? When we read in verse 4, for example, that they will rebuild the ancient ruins and repair the ruined cities, was this prophecy fulfilled when the Jews returned from their Babylonian captivity? Or is it being fulfilled now with the growth of the modern state of Israel, including the building of the settlements on the so-called West Bank? Answer, we believe these prophecies are yet to be fulfilled when the Lord returns, because they are in the context of the second coming of the Messiah, as we see in verse 2 and following of our chapter. And that leads us and brings us to our important doctrinal point. In the Old Testament prophecies, the two advents of Christ are not separated. In the Old Testament prophecies, the two advents of Christ are not separated. Now we know that verse 1 refers to the first coming of Christ, because the Lord quoted this scripture in the synagogue at Nazareth and said that it was fulfilled at that time. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. Notice that the Lord stopped his quote of Isaiah 61 right in the middle of verse 2 to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, period. Why did the Lord stop there? Why did he not continue, and the day of vengeance of our God? Because up to that point, all was fulfilled with the first coming of Christ. So indeed the Lord said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But the last part of verse 2 of Isaiah 61, the day of vengeance of our God, was not fulfilled at our Lord's first coming, but awaits his second coming. And we believe the rest of Isaiah chapter 61 awaits the return of the Lord to be fulfilled. That's when comfort will come to those who mourn in Zion, verse 3. That's when the ruins will be rebuilt, verse 4. That's when double honor will come to Israel from the nations, verses 5 through 7. That's when Israel will be the kingdom of priests she was meant to be, verse 6. That's when the new everlasting covenant made with Israel will be fulfilled, verse 8. That's when the Jewish people will be truly blessed and a witness to the rest of the world, verse 9. So we see that Isaiah 61 has both comings of Christ in view. We move from the first coming to the second coming right in the middle of verse 2. So once again, our doctrinal point. In the Old Testament prophecies, the two advents of Christ are not separated. Practical application from Isaiah chapter 61. Let's dress properly for the coming celebration. Let's dress properly for the coming celebration. Verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now, in the context, these verses have to do with the joy and blessing of Israel during the millennial kingdom. It will be like a wedding feast, where bride and groom and guests are dressed in their finest. In this case, garments of salvation and righteousness. And the nations will praise the Lord and rejoice in Israel's righteous prosperity. Now, these verses certainly have an application for us as well, because all believers will be part of the millennial celebration. But you must dress properly. You must be dressed in robes of righteousness, and you can't buy garments of salvation. You must receive them as a gift from God himself when you become a believer and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Only then will you be fit for heaven, and only then will you be part of the glorious millennial kingdom of Christ. Let's dress properly for the coming celebration.